Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's Monday, March 25th, 2019, regular Othello City Council meeting. And I'll call this meeting to order at 6:30. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the council as we make, for wisdom as we make our decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1.4 on our agenda is roll call. I see that all council is present. And so I'll move to item 1.5 is citizen input. It's the segment of the city council meeting where any member of the public is can approach the city council with any issue that they might have. So is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the city council with regard to any of the issues? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to item 2, which is approving our agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And then we'll move to our consent agenda.
I'd like a motion to approve our consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to our current business. And the first item on our agenda, 4.1, is an executive session with regard to potential litigation per RCW 42.3. 0.110 1L, and if I can read right,
one I.
And so at this time, I anticipate 20 minutes. So we'd like to clear the council chambers, and then we'll come back in 20 minutes, and we will start a public hearing with CBHA. So if staff would prepare the council chambers.
We usually save those to put in some.
Let's see what. And then in this session, I prefer staff to stay. Is going to basically recuse herself from this particular executive session because it's dealing with CBHA. She happens to be on the board, but if she goes out there with all the rest of them, they all know. So she's going to go wait for us out in the.
Okay, so that's why you had it so that at the beginning of the meeting, so that we could.
Okay, because we're rolling.
Public hearing.
Yeah, and this is information Kel wanted to give you before we have this public hearing.
All right, so do you need to start the.
Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah.
Turn these off.
Yes.
You want me just to turn this off?
Yes.
All right. After the conclusion of our executive session, we'll now reopen our meeting at 6:54 p.m. And item 4.2 on our agenda is the CBHA continued public hearing. And so I'll open that public hearing at 6:54 p.m. And we have a staff presentation from Ann Henning. Okay, so, oh yeah, excuse me, Ann. For the record, Maria Quesada, who's a council city councilwoman, is also a board member of Columbia Basin Health, and so she's recusing herself and stepping down from the dais.
Oh, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but does the mayor like me to give a I mean, I don't mind, I don't really care about the order, but I do have an update from my conversation with counsel for CBHA, actually on my drive up here. I don't know if that'd be beneficial for the council to have before we launch into the public hearing.
Okay, so I've already opened the public hearing?
And that's fine.
Okay.
So, I mean, this can be part of the record. So, well, I had a conversation with CBHA's legal counsel today. It was actually, he got, returned my messages on my way, on my drive up here. His request was, because we don't have an agreement on how to handle the certificate of occupancy issue, they have not agreed to the last version of the agreement that the city sent over. And they made some requests, such as that the city only require them to construct a half-width street, which is not acceptable to staff. And I agree with staff on that. So we don't have an agreement present to council that is an agreement that CBHA will sign. And so he did request that we continue the hearing. He also indicated that CBHA may or may not have somebody here tonight. And so to me, it does make sense to continue the hearing since we don't have an agreement to present to council that CBHA would agree to. So there's really nothing to approve. CBHA's council made it clear that they want to continue to work to come to an agreement to resolve the issue, to meet both needs of CBHA and the city. He wants more time to do that. And as a matter of fact, he would like to get a meeting of between the attorneys and maybe the committee, the streets committee of city council and city staff together with folks from CBHA, which could be a good idea. It certainly doesn't hurt. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And it could be beneficial. However, I do think that it would be good if we have representatives from city council there, from the streets committee, that we would also invite members of CBHA's board to be there as well. So we have, you know, people at various levels of authority and decision-making from both entities present to try and work out these issues. So that is the proposal that is on the table from CBHA's council, that we continue the hearing. And if we did continue the hearing, I would recommend that city council still at least take, wouldn't be part of the public record, but city staff can give a report to council as to what has happened since the last council meeting.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Kelly. So then I'll have Ann present the staff report.
I just wanted to kind of summarize the history so we understand why we're where we are now. When CBHA was built, the intention was that the entrance would be on Columbia. That's why it has an address of Columbia. And the building permit, one of the conditions of the fire department was, out of the fire code, two accesses from a public way. And so one was Columbia Street and the other one was the 14th Avenue. They couldn't build Columbia because the sewer needed to be extended first. So at the time that they finished the clinic and they're ready for the temporary, or ready to go, the street wasn't built yet, the sewer wasn't done in Columbia yet, and so we issued a temporary certificate of occupancy because of those issues. So that was October of 2017. And then June of 2018 is approximately when the sewer was finished. And then August of 2018, they started submitting street plans. It's taken several iterations of review. I think it was the fourth review was just finished. They're really close to having plans approved. So then in January, CBHA proposed an amended development agreement. So we scheduled the public hearing for February 25th. And then that's the one that's been continued to March 11th and now to today, March 25th. So, and at this point, as the city attorney mentioned, we don't have agreement from CBHA on the development agreement, the proposed agreement.
Okay.
And that is all I have.
Council, do you have any questions? All right. My understanding is from what Kelly presented tonight is that the council for CBHA would like to have these discussions ongoing. And so we will we will schedule a meeting then with, as Kelly suggested, their council, our council, staff from CBHA, the Water, Sewer, and Street Committee, and potentially, if it's convenient and amenable to Nieves and the staff, that we also have board members of Columbia Basin Health present, so that we can move past where whatever remaining issues are left to, so that we can come to an agreement, and then everybody can be satisfied that this issue has been resolved to everybody's satisfaction. So with that, I'm going to recommend that we continue this public hearing until April 22nd. That'll give us a number of weeks to sit down, and if we need to have several sessions, we will be able to have several sessions within that time frame. And so with that, I'm going to continue this public hearing at 7:02 p.m. and we'll move on to the rest of the agenda. And so the next item on our agenda is Sagestone 8 irrigation, and City Engineer Sean O'Brien has some information for us with regard to the Sagestone 8 Phase 2 irrigation system. And also, I'll state for the record that Maria Quesada has now rejoined us on the dais. Sean?
Okay, Mayor, Council. Columbia Northwest Engineering has submitted construction plans for the second phase of Sagestone 8 major plat. This is a plat that was approved before irrigation lines were required by the developer to be put in. So the developer agreement addresses that the city will design and install the irrigation system. So with the first phase, I believe the city actually worked with Olson Homes to have their contractor or their engineer design it and their contractor install it. And then we reimbursed them for that work, I think to avoid preventing wages and just to make it a smoother transition or installation. Whether that worked or not, I'm not exactly sure. So what we have before us is the developer agreement says that the city council with each phase has to approve whether they want the irrigation system to go in with each phase. And so depending on funds being available, and then if council wants it, they can approve it. And if you do go that direction, then the second question would be, how do you want us to proceed with designing and installing the line? Do you want us to talk with Olson Homes and see if we can follow the same way as before, at least get a price from them? If it's acceptable, we can go with it. If it's not, then we can either design it ourselves and contract it out with either the same contractor or a contractor of our choice. It can be done after the development is completed, or I don't know if our crews would actually be capable of doing that work or would be willing to do that work, but so that's what's before you. If you have any questions, I can attempt to answer them.
Sean, I do you or Ann know how many homes are planned in this phase two?
I believe it is 19 lots in the second phase.
19
I think the
lots.
First one had 32. I think this one's 19, and the final phase will have 39.
Okay.
Mesh.
Council.
To 94.
Do you have any questions for Sean? So the question before you is, do you want to find out about a price? Do you want to continue to pursue that? Second, because we're not required to, but do you want to continue to pursue an irrigation system through the balance of this subdivision? And second, before we agree to it, do you want a price on it?
What is the benefit to the city to go through Olson?
Just when they have a contractor on site, it's their construction site, and they can, while they have trenches putting in everything else in, they can install the lines while they're there. Contractors already mobilized the site and doing the work. So, versus coming in, you know, after it's all done and installing the lines, even though these are the most shallow lines, you're still working above and around other utilities and have another mobilization for a contractor to get in there.
And then the city has to pay prevailing wage.
Yes, any public works project, contract has prevailing wages, which can add to the cost.
And it's a lot better if the contractor that's doing the job, if he does the work, because they're not in there, you know, it's kind of tough when you got two contractors doing the same, you know, working.
And if you have settlement or something that's not clean at the end, you got two different people pointing at each other that it's their fault or.
And I say, we already started doing the irrigation, so we continue with it.
Yep. I'm going to agree.
We already put the money into it down.
I was just about ready to make a motion that we continue with the irrigation.
Okay.
For Sage Stonehaven.
But I want to know the cost first. Don't you want to know the cost first?
Do we get it from the contractor, or do we get it, or do we get one at prevailing wage from the contractor?
Contractor.
Nothing in the developer agreement requires the developer to work with us. So the first question would be, if we want to put it in, I would suggest our first step is to contact Olson Homes and say, can we proceed the way we did last time?
I agree.
And then we'll look at the cost. I think last time it was fairly expensive, so we'll try to make sure it's reasonable.
Yeah, there's got to be plans for somebody to look at to get a price on them. So they would have them do the plans again.
Well, I don't think it needs to be a full drawn up set of plans. We have the details from the previous phase, and I can just draw a line on where we want the lines to go and provide the details of what they have to do at each connection at each lot. So I think we'll keep it more basic than last time around.
Okay, and Sean, I just, I had a citizen ask me today about our system that we have, and I was under the impression that we had that pumping system, it is not a pressurized system, it is a gravity system, correct? And that pressurized system, actually I heard this from the public works director, but that is actually the school districts that they have for their irrigation on their property, but what ours is a gravity feed. And that came from the public works director, so.
He would be a much better source. I have no understanding of what our irrigation system or what is.
Rhetorical question.
Okay, perfect, because I have no answer there.
Okay, all right. Okay, very good. So council, I need a motion.
Make a motion to continue with installation of irrigation system in Sage Stonehaven Phase 2 development.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Second motion is to go ahead and contact Olson Homes and work with them to see if they can get a price while they're developing.
Okay.
That's second.
Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And continuing on to item 4.4, well 3R change order number 2. Sean?
Okay. As I assume you're aware that the well 3R drilling project, the drilling portion has been completed. The plan with this project was they were going to drill it and then change order in all the above ground. The pump installation, the piping, the structure, the controls, all those things. The original cost estimate from Varela was $170,000-$180,000 ballpark range. They gave the work request to Schneider that their quote came back at $557,000 and some change. So well beyond what the original plan was. And so had a meeting with the Water Sewer Street Committee, and we discussed you know, how do we want to proceed with this? This is a very large change order, and you're not getting competitive bidding by doing it this way. It was an emergency project originally, so time was of the essence in trying to make this project go quickly. We still don't have a pump in the ground. So what I proposed to the Water Sewer Street Committee was to get a price for just doing the bare minimum, get the pump in the ground with the ASR valve, so that, you know, it's ready to go when we're have everything done up above. But above ground, just do the basics to get that pump connected, so that come summertime we can actually pump it if we need to, so we don't get into a situation where we're short on water and cutting it thin. So Schneider came back with a cost quote of $212,000, which I think is reasonable. We cut out everything that doesn't have to be done. We'll get that. I guess what we're proposing or bringing forward to you is to prove us to go forward with that, get the pump in the ground, and then come fall time, we can, once we don't need the well, we can then do the above ground work and go out to bid and hopefully get a competitive bid, much less than the $340,000 that has been cut out. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's, if you have any questions.
Okay. That was presented before committee. So anybody on the committee want to say anything?
I think he did a good job of getting yes. it down. I went over the numbers, and they're reasonable for what they're going to be doing. Again, remember that, you know, there was a USDA funding for this, and it is a loan. We are going to have to pay it back, but some of it's forgivable. And the amount of funds that have been spent already are only 1.2 of the 1.7. So nothing's coming out of pocket. But it will give us the well to use for the summer. And then those other items, we can chip away at them. They're not necessary, completely necessary.
We'll have time to go research those out. Gina?
Well, and just to reiterate that, you know, we had the 1.7 million, and there should be enough room in there, especially if we get a more competitive bid come fall, to finish up all the above grounds and come under that 1.7.
Anyone else?
Can we still do that, Spencer?
Okay. All right.
So I'll make a motion to approve the change order number 2.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. So now we'll move to item 4.5.
All right, I'm still
engineering
here.
Technician.
Okay, with the amount of work we've been able to do, take on in-house, and as we get into the summer, it's been discussed, and we also took this to the Water Sewer Street Committee about hiring on an engineering tech. So it would be someone that can work alongside with me. We can cover each other if one's not in, but between the inspection and hopefully be able to do a few more jobs in-house where we can put together the plans and specs. This engineering tech would, you know, in the summer be helping with the construction, but also through the winter we would have AutoCAD capabilities, so we could do some of our plans in-house and start taking on some bigger projects without having to go out to consultants. So what I've brought before you is a job description. We're hoping to, if you approve it, to go out to advertisement for an engineering technician. The one question we kind of looking for some guidance on is the salary range. Have the top salary being $6,200 a month, which if we had someone who had to, depending on qualifications, if we could get someone who's already been through it and knows the ropes, that would be the upper end that I'm suggesting, but open for any discussion or any comments, and or I can provide some justification on how we came up with those numbers if you want it. But I guess I can answer any questions.
Okay, I think this again was presented to committee, and they approved this for the rest of the council to hear, and I guess the key phrase you used was depending on qualifications. So if there is someone who has all of the experience and the different skill set that we're looking for, we would pay at the top end, but if they don't have you know, all of those things, and then they would have time to work into that. So, council?
That was based on a city survey of equivalent job requirements.
Okay, so with that, I would entertain a motion as the staff has recommended to create, post, and proceed with the process to fill the position of engineering tech for the city of Othello.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. And then this was another item that went before the committee, the 2009 crack ceiling project.
Okay, so here's my final item. The city hasn't done any, well, the city generates through the Transportation Benefit District, the TBD, about $350,000 to $400,000 a year that is earmarked for going towards road maintenance or road projects, street projects. There's $400,000 budgeted for unspecified projects, and crack ceiling is one of your most basic, probably best bang for the buck type of projects. So this is a project that I recommend that we should do, and it's something that we can do in-house. I've already got the spec pretty well put together, and so there won't be any consultant time. It'll be something we'll inspect in-house if we move forward with it. There's a lot of streets out there that could use crack ceiling. I'm proposing to do about $100,000 job just with the first year job. We could spend more if we could definitely spend more, but I think this will get us going, address a lot of our streets. Have to kind of pick out which ones are the best candidates for it. Was hoping to concentrate kind of on the southeast quadrant of the city, because that looks like it's been some of the streets that, from what I could tell, has been the longest since they've been crack sealed. Walking the streets today, a lot of those streets are in pretty bad shape, might be beyond crack sealing and in the near future chip sealing, but we can find enough roads to take care of this amount of money and start putting that money to good use and maintaining our roads. So, any questions?
So you got something I was going to ask about, the chip ceiling versus crack ceiling.
Okay.
I understand there's a cost difference, but is the difference in that cost worth it for the amount of time that the chip ceiling will last?
Okay. Well, crack ceiling is actually just putting the rubber in the cracks and keeping the water from getting into your base. So that has to be done whether you're going to chip seal or whether you're going to overlay. Mm-hmm. Chip sealing is really an alternative to overlaying or completely replacing your road. Chip sealing provides more of a shot of oil, and then they put a shot of rock, and then you can, you don't have to, but you can put another shot of oil on the top to make it black. But that gives you a new wearing surface and maintains, kind of rejuvenates your asphalt. If your road gets, but it's not going to take bumps and it's not going to smooth your ride out. If your road gets to the point where it's beyond a chip seal, it's starting to, major alligators, potholes, you start having to patch it, then you're getting to the point where you have to probably go more towards an overlay. An overlay generally costs about 8 times per foot the cost of a chip seal. So if you can maintain your roads and stay on top of it, you can push having to reconstruct or overlay your streets. some of those streets out there might be to the point where to chip seal them, we're going to have to do some pretty major patching. But the goal is to try to address crack sealing, trying to keep those streets from getting to the point where they go beyond the point of no return, and hopefully maintain them with a chip seal. Chip seal provides a little rougher surface because it's not as smooth as an asphalt road, but you can maintain a lot more miles of road at a lesser cost.
Okay. So, I don't know, Spencer, I don't know if we even need to make a motion here because it's already in a budget.
We have $400,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is probably more informational.
It's more informational. The money in the budget isn't designated for any type of specific project, so I guess just getting direction.
Just a consensus of council. That's what we need to do to maintain our roads, so.
It needs to be done.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Especially after this year. A lot of frost heave out there.
Yeah, there is. And this is the time of year you want to do it.
Yeah.
So when you have the roads at the cracks are at the widest.
I guess just one more thing is we did talk, the Adams County will do crack sealing for cities, but we talked to them. They said, well, they're going to do their stuff first, and come September, October, they let us know if they're going to have time to get to ours. And that leaves us in the lurch for the whole summer. And then at the end of the summer isn't the best time to seal your cracks. You got weeds that are established in there. Your asphalt's hot, so your cracks are small, which means you crack seal them and then they're going to spread out in the winter. So wasn't ideal, didn't get a price from them. They don't really provide a price. It's more just kind of a time of materials. So not sure if it was going to be cheaper, could possibly be, but you're waiting until the end of the year to see if they get to you. So that's why I'm proposed to go with the contracting it out. What's that?
It's also not as good of a job at the end of the year, so
yes,
you're not really saving money.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. The next item on our agenda is the Prairie Land Surveyor on-call contract. As you recall, in part of our transition from relying entirely on consultants, we decided that we were going to deal directly with our own consultants, and one of those happens to be land surveying. And so the city staff conducted a RFQ process, and we have selected James K. He pronounced it Keyes, looks like Keys, and the name of his firm is Prairie Land Surveying. They're from Moses Lake. He's a one-man op, and he has been surveying, I think, the better part of, what do you say, 40 years in the Columbia Basin. And so a lot of the work that the city performs, that's the simple work that is, you know, maybe finding boundaries, some of these other projects, he won't be able to do all of our work, but for a large majority of it, we feel like we get a good value from him. He's close by, and he can fit us into his schedule. So staff recommends approving this contract you have before you. It's only a personal services contract. It isn't any specific work, so there's no money involved in the approval tonight. When we do ask him to do some work, we'll bring a contract, much like we do with our consulting engineers now. We bring a contract amendment, and that way you can see the price of a contract, and the council is the authority to approve contracts, so any work that we would have him do will be brought before the council. Okay? So with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve. Excuse me, I didn't ask for questions. Are there any questions? Council? Pretty straightforward. You've done this many times. I'd entertain a motion to approve this contract with Prairie Land Surveying and Jim Keyes from Moses.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. And now, we're going to move to unfinished business, and I'm asking the council tonight, do you have any unfinished business you'd like discussed? Okay. Is there any new business the council would like to discuss tonight?
What are we going to do with all this? You know, we had the big drifts, and we had that dust storm. Now that the snow melted, I mean, there's massive dirt on the sidewalks and on some streets, or gravel and everything. Are we going to start cleaning that up? It may stick around for a while. I don't think the rain will clean it up.
I'll check with our public works department and I'll see what we can do to get to work on some of those issues. Okay. I have a bunch of them. Is there any other issues tonight? You have a bunch of them, and they're just really short items. This is again a reminder to file your F1 financial affairs disclosure by April 15th. You can do that online with the Public Disclosure Commission. The second item is Adams County Fire District has sent us a letter. They want to hold their first semi-annual meeting on April 9th. And the City Fire Council includes Mark Snyder, John Lawless, and Eugene Bain. April 9th, it'll be at 7 p.m. at 220 South Broadway. So if you guys would put that on your calendars. They also want to know if a council member is not going to be able to attend. So I would please have you respond to Tanya, our city clerk, so that she can let them know. I received a letter from the Association of Washington Business, and they asked me to make this announcement to you. They are currently calling for applications for open positions on the Association of Washington City's Board of Directors. And so there is a memo here, so if you are interested, the president of the association is asking that any members submit their names and their application by 5 p.m. this Friday. And there's an electronic application that can be found on the Board of Directors page on the AWC website. So if there's anybody interested on being on the Board of Directors, you're certainly welcome. And I have that information here if you want to let me know tonight. And if you want, after tonight, if you want to think about it, talk to your spouse. There is a commitment of time, I will tell you. And you have to attend meetings, sometimes driving to Olympia, and I will give this information to our clerk, Tanya Morelos, and if you have any further questions about it, you can either contact me or Tanya and submit your name and or not, but I'm giving you that opportunity. Then I have some very good news tonight. I got an email and had a phone conversation with our lobbyist. The House has approved its capital budget, and the City of Othello has received $425,000 in the House capital budget for engineering design cost for a wastewater treatment facility. She did want me to remind you that that still requires a joint meeting with the Senate and the governor to sign it. But we're well on our way. The fact that we got it through that part is very significant. And I want to let the council know that we're all these efforts and these trips we've made to Olympia, John made one here several weeks ago. Gina has and John have been back and forth with me a number of times. They are very productive, as you can see. And a large part of that is our legislative contingent, Senator Schessler, Representative Schmick, and Representative Mary Dye, and also our lobbyist, on the effort of our lobbyist. And they have been very productive for us in helping us secure funds. And that's not all. We have also in the CAL's capital budget,
They have approved $12 million for the RCO and YAF grants. And the city, as you recall, we placed 16th our application for the Lions Park ball field improvements. Those improvements were to put in a drainage system, redo our infields with proper soil and dirt products, to skin the infield and completely redo those, to make them completely flat and make them first class baseball fields for tournaments and for league play. Also upgrade our bathroom to have it completely ADA compliant. Right now it isn't currently ADA compliant. There's some things that need to be done. So those are also included in that grant. And also included in that grant was for the concession stand. We have this countertop, but if you come up to the countertop in wheelchair, you're kind of trying to get your stuff off like this. And so there will be a section cut and a section of the cement block wall cut, and then a lowered serving area for someone to come who's wheelchair bound. And what I'm happy to say is that we needed this legislature to fund $9 million into that in order for our project to be fully funded, and they funded $12 million. So it looks like we're going to get our ball field improvements from the state. I think we committed somewhere between $75,000 and $100,000 of our money, but the state's money is going to pay for the majority of those ball field improvements. I thought you guys would be encouraged by that news, that all these efforts that we're doing to try and improve this community are coming to pass. So, and then the last thing I want to bring to your attention is the stellar and tremendous effort that our city finance officer has done to put together the budget book for 2019. This is something that he's won awards for statewide, and he's provided you each a copy of the 2019 adopted budget. You can use it as a reference. I keep it on my desk. And that is all that I have tonight on new business. So then I will also move to item 7, and we will receive the department head reports. And also item 7.2, we will receive the Planning Commission minutes. Having no further business, I will adjourn tonight's meeting, 7:33 p.m. Thank you.